Welcome to EFT Nation, your home for all things tapping. For show notes and resources, please visit EFTTappingTraining.com. We are your tapping hosts. I'm Alina Frank.
And I'm Craig Wiener. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for counseling or medical advice. The information presented here is meant to inspire and educate listeners, but are not guarantees of any kind.
I would like to explain this really interesting phenomenon known as borrowing benefits.
Okay.
Yeah. So back in the day, we would all be in these large conferences with Gary Craig, the founder of EFT, and he would be helping a person on the stage, front of the room, where he was working with them on a particular issue, working on specific events and using EFT. And we in the audience would want to support that person. You know, it's kind of a very vulnerable place to be, like in front of everyone talking about the worst things that have happened in your life. And so organically, we just started tapping along. So they would be instructed by Gary Craig to, you know, he'd be modeling or back in that time, he would be tapping on them and we would be tapping on ourselves the same points. And we would actually be saying the same things that they were saying. And lo and behold, someone in the audience would report, "Wow, that's fascinating. The person up at the front was working on their fear of flying. And I just noticed it's 2 o'clock and this is when I usually go get my coffee and my donut and I have no desire." Or the person would be up there working on a craving and someone would say, and the audience would say, "Wait, that's weird. Like my back pain is gone." And so Gary came up with this idea of like making it into a technique or a strategy for how to apply EFT. And so the way that you do gain borrowing benefits is that you write down what it is that you are concerned about. And again, with EFT, the more specific, the better. So come up with a specific moment in time. Rate the intensity of the negative emotion associated with that. And you don't have to get into much detail, especially if you're working on something that's kind of big. Like, you know, you don't have to say, "Oh, it's fear. Oh, it's..." No, you know there's intensity there. Just give it a number, 0 to 10. And then, this is the curious part, you put it aside. You do not reference what you wrote, but you tap along and repeat what the person is saying that is working with the tapping circle leader or in these cases Gary Craig. And then at the end of the session you would go back and look at your paper and say, "Wow, that's amazing. Like what they were working on was so unrelated to mine that I got peace. I gained peace. I was able to release what I was worried about or stressed out about or afraid of," and all of these things just collapse. And so Gary came up with this theory that the less it was like your issue, the better, because then you would not have, it would bypass your conscious mind. And if it was too similar, let's say the person at the front was working on a sugar craving and you had a craving for like potato chips, it was too close and then your mind would block it and say, "You know what, that's a little different for me. I like the salty and the crunchy and they like the sweet, but it's too close." And I know that kind of doesn't make sense, but really none of this does. However, we do have data to support that this really works. And I know that people from all around the world have written me thanking me for doing the A to Z video series on YouTube, because it's a perfect thing to apply basic benefits to. You go on there, you start off by writing what it is you're concerned or stressed about, you give that a 0 to 10, you put it aside, and then they just watch along and tap with whoever I'm tapping with and saying the same things. And lo and behold, they feel better. So that is That is barring benefits in a nutshell, but I want to hear what the research is suggesting about this.
Yeah. So, you know, the steps, I just kind of wanted to slow it down for a second. So one is you're watching. So here it is that you are tapping along with somebody else's issue that's not your own. That could be, just as you said, watching a video mm-hmm. and doing it. Mm-hmm. It's what happens when we're doing demos and workshops.
Yes. We encourage it.
Right. It's actually what's happening as a practitioner. When I'm working with a client.
Yes, of course. Yes.
As well, because I'm not having the mother-daughter issue that my client is having.
Right.
So I can use my sessions to be intentional with my borrowing benefits. I think I'm also borrowing benefits whether I'm intentional or not. In other words, it's reducing my burnout of just sitting there listening to the traumas and the challenges of a client's having. But I can use those sessions by setting up ahead of time
a more structured process as well. Yeah, for sure.
And so the steps could be, okay, I think of an issue I'm wanting to work on, my relationship, my work, my relationship with money, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I get more specific. Mm-hmm. I come up with a specific situation or event that I'm wanting to work on, mm-hmm. right? I tune into maybe the emotion I'm feeling with it, where I feel it in my body, and I get specific, and I give it a 0 to 10. Yeah. And then, as you said, I fold up the piece of paper and I put it aside.
Absolutely.
I tap along with my person, mm-hmm. right? However I'm doing that. And then I come back and I open that sheet of paper and voila, I tune into that now and I go, how much improvement, how much change has there been with regard to my issue, even though all that tapping had nothing to do specifically with my specific issue. So that's the process.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Okay. So is there any research behind it? And the answer is yes. So the first one was actually done by a colleague of ours who passed a few years ago, Jack Rowe.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jack was part of those conferences mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
And he noticed the same thing. And so what Jack did was basically he took a Gary workshop, right? He had 102 people that he measured. And what he used was an assessment called the SA45. And the subjective analysis question, 45 is a brief assessment of symptoms. And it's been duplicated and reduplicated in research. And it measures a bunch of questions, 45 questions that have to do with everything from my personal relationship with depression, interpersonal sensitivity, hostility, obsessive compulsiveness, somatization, how things are showing up physically in my body, like feelings of numbness and tingling, maybe phobia or anxiety related symptoms. So it asked me a bunch of questions about how I'm doing emotionally and physically.
Yeah. I remember the SA45 from the Veteran Stress Project. We mm-hmm. measured that as well there.
So what he did was he had these people take the questionnaire before the workshop, right after the workshop, mm-hmm. a month later, and 6 months later.
Okay.
And measured those scores. And so what he found was there was a statistically significant decrease in all measures of psychological distress as measured from the SA45 from pre to post workshop that held up at 6 months. Okay. So that was one. Then they did a follow-up study. Mm-hmm. And actually this one was done in 2011 by Palmer, Hoffman, and Brooks. And published again in 2011 called Psychological Symptom Change After Group Application of EFT. And so the inquiry in this one was, well, maybe there's like an effect because it's like the Gary Craig effect.
The guru effect.
And so what...
that we were all getting relief just because it was Gary up there?
Exactly.
I got it.
So this study was wanting to find out whether the improvements were attributable to the Gary Craigness effect,
right?
And whether that was it. So in this one, what he took was four different workshops with four different trainers, mm-hmm. and then basically did the same thing. Used the SA45 questionnaire before, after, month later, and 6 months later. And in all four conferences, there were significant improvements statistically in the mm-hmm. severity and breadth of symptoms in all of those. And three out of the four conferences had significant long-term gains. Mm-hmm. So not just the feelings of it right immediately after
measurable
the workshop that were statistically significant. So,
And what we actually do in our trainings is that we have people come and we invite them to write down events that they may or may not work on directly when they're getting into, when they're doing their work and dyads and triads, but just to write those things down. And then after the 3-day workshop, then come back to it and look at that list again and see how much, you know, better they feel about those items that they listed. And it's a way that we recommend that a really solid format for tapping circles.
Right.
So we're having a tapping circle 3-hour workshop coming up in July if you want to check that out.
And how to use that, because otherwise people will just feel like, oh, well, you're working on somebody else.
Exactly.
And they might tune out, right, or they might think, wow, this doesn't have anything to do with
me. Or sometimes worse, global tapping, which is all of us are feeling exactly the same way. And regardless of what experiences we've had in our personal history, which is we don't advocate for global tapping at all. You see what I'm saying with global tapping? I've seen that kind of structure in a tapping circle, and there's nothing to support that. So, what can people do? So what are other ways that people can possibly use it? They can use it when you don't want to think about it. You know how often we try to distract ourselves and eat or drink away the feeling? Right? You don't want it.
Using unhealthy strategies.
Yes.
So let's just say you're dealing with, I don't know, having injured yourself, or you're going through a tough breakup,
yeah,
or you're going through something intense and you're obsessing about it, but you know, obsessing doesn't necessarily mean healthy tapping about it. Like you're so in it.
You're
so immersed in it.
Yeah.
That what you might do
you
is
want to check out.
Right. So, okay. So let's use tapping, but let's not dive into the middle of it.
Yes, because it's someone else's problem that I'm tapping on.
Exactly. And then notice afterwards, wow, I'm actually feeling quite a bit better. And now I can maybe address in a healthier way,
absolutely,
tapping or otherwise, the challenge I'm dealing with. Yeah, yeah. That's a great way.
Great. Do we have any information about the... No, we don't have any information about where they can find these studies.
Sure. I would just say they're probably on our website. The first study is called The Effect of EFT on Long-Term Psychological Symptoms by Jack Rowe. It's in Counseling and Clinical Psychology, 2005. You should be able to find it on the research page at EFT Tapping Training, or on the EFT International research page.
Okay.
Same thing. The second study is Psychological Symptom Change After Group Application of EFT by Palmer, Hoffman, and Brooks, 2011 in the Energy Psychology Theory Research and Treatment Journals.
Okay.
But again, you should find the abstracts at least on the two sites that I mentioned.
Okay.
Yep.
So try it. Just try it. Give it a shot. See what you think. Let us know.
Thanks for joining us today at EFT Nation. And remember that you can find show notes and previous episodes at EFTTappingTraining.com.